Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us. You know, one of the organizations that I purposely kind of take time to try to highlight the work of is a group called the Heritage Foundation. And the reason that I do is because, number one, they're one of the few organizations that have done what they do with the kind of integrity and enthusiasm with which they do for as long as they have. And there's kind of a new team that has been in place at least since February of this year down in Washington at the Heritage Organization. And we are honored to have their executive vice president join us right now, Derek Morgan. And Derek, was just reading through your bio. You have old stomping grounds down near my home, Plano, Texas. I mean, come on. I was the west side of Fort Worther. No better day in all the week than when the Cowboys are playing. And so we got to be careful.
Exactly right.
As me being in New York and you being in Washington, we got to be very careful about that.
I wish the NFC East was just doing better overall these days. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. I have some hopeful optimism about this season, but we'll see. Give me in your new position, and you've worked actually at Heritage on a couple of stints previous. How would you describe the organization is changing, and what is kind of from a kind of a cultural standpoint within the organization? What are you wanting to really attack and see happen maybe even differently than what it has in recent years?
Well, that's a great question, Kevin. And we have a new president here at Heritage, Kevin Roberts. He was head of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. And what he brings to Washington is a deep commitment to the grassroots and to all of the state-based think tanks, that one of which he led. And I think he's really rejuvenated the building. We want to go on offense. We do not want to only or merely provide excellent policy advice, which we do, but we also want to be aggressive about communicating and persuading our neighbors that what we have right now with the left-wing control of Washington, D.C. is not working in Washington and certainly not working around the country.
Well, along those lines, your previous work has involved quite a bit of energy. You've worked on energy a lot, and there is probably no more single culturally relevant, marker in the society than the price of the gas at the street corner. When you look up and you see in that first position, 5-6, there's a place in California, I guess it's $8 a gallon now. This is really, it's making the American family poorer by the minute. And we seem to have an administration that has no clue as to what even the impact of it is.
You're exactly right. You know, there's the pain at the pump itself when you go to fill up. And then we remember that transportation is so important to everything. It really affects the price of everything. So a piece of that price increase on bread is because it costs more to get it from the factory to the shelf. And so you're right. It does affect everything. And this administration, unfortunately, is completely out of touch. There's a portion of the administration that I think is quietly cheering these higher prices. They think it's part of what needs to be done. It's part of this so-called transition away from fossil fuels. And unfortunately, there's a lot of pain in the wake of that transition that they want.
Well, they send out the the energy secretary. They send her out and she chastises people for even thinking poorly of all this. Like, it's one thing to have policy that's making American lives miserable. It's another thing to rub their nose in it like a dog who's had an accident in the living room floor. Like, it's just, and that's how they treat us.
They do. And, you know, I said this is kind of like the let them eat cake of transportation policy, because you had the senator from Michigan, you had the transportation secretary, and the president himself talk about, well, just go out and buy an electric vehicle. You know, as if since a lot of us have $60,000, which is about the average price of an electric vehicle, as if we just have that sitting around and, oh, this is no problem. And by the way, electric vehicles don't work for everybody. You know, if you're on the road a lot, you need to refuel quickly and get back out on the road. So it really is unfortunate, but I think it's unfortunately part of their plan, too. They were a little more open about this a decade ago, Kevin. when they were trying to get cap and trade passed through Congress. And
right.
the president's budget director, the president himself said, yeah, prices have got to skyrocket so that people change their behavior. So unfortunately, I think this is part of their plan.
Well, and I'm just curious, Derek, from that vantage point, how do they stand up in these congressional races in November? If you've got people going back to their districts for the summer and they're going to be trying to make the case, they don't say to the American people, we want you to suffer so that you make different choices. But the voter's going to know and kind of instinctively feel that. And so they just don't address it. What do you see happening here?
Well, I think that's why you're seeing a kind of schizophrenic energy policy, because I'm sure inside the White House, there's conversations going on with one part of the administration saying, you know, these higher prices are good. It's going to force this transition that we want. And then you have the more politically attuned side saying, this is terrible. This is going to cost us in November. And you see the president's approval ratings are extremely low. And it's fascinating to see over the years just how closely the president's approval ratings match the gasoline prices. And I know I'm probably dating myself here, but I think a new emphasis on supply side economics is in store here. Just like in the late 70s, we had high inflation and low growth. Unfortunately, and we had oil shortages. Unfortunately, we're in the same boat now, just a few years after we had been the number one fuel producing country in the world. We have all of these policies, a litany of policies that are restricting supply on the oil side. And that's really emblematic of what's happening in the economy as a whole.
Well, it's interesting because I think the American people, you know, and loved him or hated him, you know, mean tweets or not, you can't argue that Trump policy was some of the most revolutionary policy in the modern era. And the simple idea that Americans should come first when it comes to American policy decisions. And what you get from Washington on every issue, it's not just gas, it's everything, is that the American citizen is last in their prioritization. And so their desire to get this agenda done, even if it hurts Americans in the energy sector, that's just emblematic of how they're treating us across the board. And I don't know, unless you plan to have some sort of disruption to the election and not allow it to function properly or whatever, I don't know how you even anticipate trying to win in November. And I don't think it's going to be by a small margin. I think you're going to see a massive lopsided, take back of Congress in both houses, because people have had enough. I live in a very, 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 very blue state, and people here have had enough. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where I just think the writing's on the wall.
I think you're right. And, you know, America first and the swamp last. But unfortunately, the swamp, meaning Washington, D.C., and the way things are done, the business as usual, you know, you think, you know, the G7 just has been meeting, and, you know, their number one issue is climate change. But even some of them are recognizing and asking the president, Mr. President, please produce more oil. So they're even recognizing it. It's almost as if President Biden and his administration are closing up their ears on this.
Yeah.
And I think you're right to give some credit to President Trump. He had an idea of energy dominance. And look, we got there within just a few years.
We were making money off of energy. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Number one oil producing country in the world, thanks to some common sense policies. And we can get back there. And I think to get there, we need the American people to speak up loud and clearly. And as you said, and then in the future, we can get back to where we were.
Yeah. Derek Morgan at Heritage Foundation, congrats on the new post. We'll be in touch again soon, I'm sure, and keep us informed on all things that we can be of help with. Thanks for being here.
Will do. Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Stay here.